Well, again, happy Mother's Day. As you may know, there are going to be some flowers, or if you don't know, now you do, available and provided to mothers today. We want you to be blessed in that way. And the snack which will follow today is provided by the Children's Church. So a big thank you to them. I think they did that at Valentine's time as well. So bless them for that. And a reminder again, thanks to Jen for that announcement and about our benevolence offering going to the Pregnancy Crisis Center. As I prepared for this week, I reflected on what is the best thing that we could do, that I could do for the most important women in my life. What's the most important thing that I could do for my mom, for example? What do you suppose? We could come up with different answers to that, but when I ask a question like that, of course, I want to turn to the Word of God and say, so what might I learn from God's Word about what's most important that I could do? Could it be giving flowers? Well, if it is, we've got that one covered today. Could it be pampering? Well, I hope that's done too. Could it be dinner out? Well, I'm happy to say we went out last night. It took Trina out. It wasn't for dinner, but we went to a concert. But I don't think that's the most important thing either. Could it be, what's a girl's best friend? I hope the most important people in her life. But could it be diamonds? I don't think that's the best thing that we could do for a woman either. I believe it has to do, and ever does when it comes to relationships, the best thing that we can do for somebody is going to have something to do with the sacred. It's going to have something to do with God's Word. And so I want to invite you, if you want to join me, in Ephesians chapter 5. I don't have any PowerPoint. I'm not going to be long today, unless it happens that I am. That would be the only exception. And we'll come to Ephesians 5, beginning of chapter 25. Best thing that we can do for a woman. While doing that, as an aside, I just want to say thank you to those of you who have been praying for me particularly. I don't like giving much attention to it. I've had some stomach issues over the last few months. And I shed a few pounds unintentionally. I've had numerous offers from people to have some of theirs, but it's not quite the way I would like it to happen. But so last Sunday, anyhow, I was off anyway, but I ended up getting attended to. So I'm very thankful to that and those who took care of last Sunday evening because I couldn't be here. But I want to make mention of that. Also want to make mention of reference to our meeting the other Thursday, but we'll talk more of that in a couple of weeks because today's Mother's Day, next week's long weekend, and then we can give more attention. But please do be praying for the leadership who are going to be meeting this week and continuing the process that we've been on about the purpose and the vision for Markham Missionary Church. So that's the aside as we get to God's Word from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Sacred means set apart. We understand something that is sacred has been set apart for God. The same, a synonym for the word sacred is holy. Those are words we don't use a lot. And I'm sorry to say that many times those words are misapplied so that certain things or places are set aside as being almost exclusively sacred, but I would suggest that the most sacred creation from the hand of God are people. Because at the end of the creation event, when God created man, having said with all of the other parts of creation of this earth, God said it is good. And then after God created man and it was all completed, it was what? It was very good. And you and I and all people are part of the pinnacle of God's creation. Now it's a fallen creation, and I believe that needs to be recognized because we are all broken. And Mother's Day is a difficult time for some people because of brokenness. And there may be some bad memories. And we need to recognize that, that this is not always a happy day. And yet at the same time, let's celebrate the family that God instituted, beginning with Adam and Eve. And God has set apart in a sacred way people in order to follow Him. Those things and people that have been set apart for God for His use. Sacred is alive. I'm reminded of the movies from Night at the Museum and how those animals and such and those people who were wax figures all came to life. The sacred is not to be static, but rather sacred is to be active and alive, serving the Lord. That's why God has set aside things for their use to bring Him glory. That's why you are sacred. That's why I am sacred in the eyes of God. You and I could evaluate everything in our lives and determine, with the help of God's Spirit, by the direction of God's Spirit and His Word, whether or not it's sacred, whether or not it's truly been set apart for His glory, for His use. And I believe family is one of the key things that have been set aside by God. And Jesus affirmed that. That a man and a woman come together to be married, to become one. They leave their parents, they come together to be one at the exclusion of all others, to be the family and to create the family that God has created and desired to be. I enjoy getting together with young couples in order to take them through premarital time. I'm spending some time with one right now. When I asked one young couple wanting to get married, "What is marriage to you?" The young man said, "Marriage is a holy institution." That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? It's a holy institution. Well, I would suggest that marriage under God was really not intended to be an institution. And I understand that that word is even valued by some to say it's an institution in the sense that it's something that should not be changed. And I fully agree with that. But really, marriage is meant to be a holy union. It's meant to be a holy relationship. And family is a beautiful set of relationships that has been designed by God, no matter its size. And I would never, ever want to teach or give the impression that if someone chooses never to be married, that somehow they're second rate. May that never be said. Amen? In fact, Paul even taught, "I wish that all were as I am," and his meaning, he was not married. And so I don't want to denigrate that. Well, when I asked the young man what's meant by holy institution, he wasn't quite able to explain it to me. Though we together talked about it and came to some understanding. I think when he gave that answer, he was giving the answer that he kind of thought that I wanted. I'm never too terribly keen on people telling me what they think I want to hear. What I want people to tell me is truth. But I appreciate I guess that maybe he was trying to placate me. But it was an opportunity for us to talk about the family being holy relationship as we dedicate our homes and our families to God. What makes a family sacred, alive and committed to God? Since it's Mother's Day, I think it's really helpful to share this scripture. The best thing that a man can do for a woman for the sake of the family. Ephesians 5, beginning verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The word love here means seeking the highest good for another person. So it's not any other meaning of love. It is the richest understanding of the word love that I think we could conceive, because it also speaks of a sacrificial love. It comes from that word. Many people are familiar with it. It comes from the word agape. Seeking the highest good for another person. It's an unselfish love like Jesus' sacrificial death, which we just remembered today, followed by his resurrection. One pastor said about love, it's one thing to make a sacrifice for someone else and live to tell about it and receive some satisfaction. It's another thing to give up your life and that's it. How quickly would we be willing to do that for others, to save a life and in the process to lose our own? Of course, that's what Jesus did for us by perfect example. The Holy Spirit writes through Paul here, husbands, love your wives, and here's how to love. In case there's any question, in case there's any ambiguity, in case there's any option for somebody to misdefine or misunderstand what love means, here's what I mean, says the Holy Spirit through Paul. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then the verses that come before are just really easy to digest. And I will mention them later. But here's what's most important to me. It's what comes next. I mean, what's most important for this message today is what comes next. Because it also speaks of what it means and how it means to love the women, this is for men, who are most important in our lives. Love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her in order that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Now, what does that mean? Some of you go, no problem, I get that. Let's talk about it. I believe this message is to all men equally. It's particularly to husbands and how they treat their wives. I would suggest it's also worthwhile to teens who may be awkwardly admiring girls and being admired by them back. I believe it's relevant to young men who may be doing the same. I believe it's pertinent to young men who are in relationship with young women. And I believe it is very important to those who've been married for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 5 years, for 10, for more. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So that's what Jesus has done for the church. What he did was he provided the environment and the circumstances by which, through which, the church could be holy, set apart, sanctified. Same theme as we started with. This is about being sanctified. We see the example Jesus set, and he says, men, I want you to love women in that same kind of way. Not easy. But I want to suggest that if we ever push the verses that precede without pushing all of these verses equally, we are doing disservice to the relationship that God has created. You say amen? Amen. All right, that's great. Amen. Here's what I believe the most important thing that a man can do for a woman. He can follow the example of Jesus for the church by helping her to be holy and by helping her to cultivate her relationship with the Lord. So here's one of the challenges. One of the challenges is that for some relationships, men have actually step back from what I would suggest is their responsibility, which is to invest in the lives of those who are most important to them, investing in the lives of their wives, those who are married. And so it could also be applied to relationships with all. You see, the Me Too movement, if you're familiar with it now, which is a response to abuse, has definitely some benefit of it, and we can remember and learn from it as a community of faith to say, this is how we ought to treat one another. By helping them to be holy. What a way to view a woman. And I would suggest then when we go back and we say, and we read this, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. As the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. If the verses that follow that were followed completely, so that we as men would love women as Christ loved the church, there would be very little argument about the verses that precede. The problem is that the verses that I've just read are often the ones that are improperly applied to relationship because they are not balanced with, in fact, I would suggest that the verses that come later, which we started with at the beginning, ought actually to be heavier than the verses that come before. Would anybody agree with me? It would change everything when it comes to so many relationships. We take our responsibility. Do you think of each other in your relationship as sacred? So this past week, I actually was off on holiday time, and during that holiday time, I went to a series of workshops on conflict management. I have no idea where I'll use it, but anyway, I took this, and so if you want any help with conflict resolution in your life, I now have the number of my instructor that I can give to you that you can contact for that. I'm kidding, of course. We all need to be engaged in conflict management because conflict can be very healthy and it can be very unhealthy. And she used a particular phrase because the context of this teaching was not just with people of faith, and so she used different language. But I still really appreciate the phrase that she used. And she said, we need to regard everyone with unconditional positive regard. Now we would say, what is that? They're not spiritual words, but I think they're really, really helpful words. If we view each person with unconditional positive regard, or as we would say, we need to be subject to one another. We need to even regard one another as more important than ourselves. We read that in Philippians chapter 2 as we've been working through the book of Philippians. And so that is how we all ought to view one another and how men ought to view the most important women in their lives. Do we treat each other sacredly? Oh, then we still have to deal with issues. But at the core, do we value each other to the same extent that Jesus has shown value to us? And just as water makes us physically clean, so the Word of God applied makes us spiritually clean. The Word doesn't in itself, but rather the Word applied to us and the Holy Spirit allowed to do His work in us make us spiritually clean. So husbands, verse 28 of Ephesians 5. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, Each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. How can I help a person be sacred and holy? Briefly this, as I conclude. We help people be holy by exposing them to the Word of God, by praying with them, by giving that person every opportunity that we would want to give ourselves. And I say with some regret, although I've learned from it, that through my life, few things have stood in my way to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. I say it with regret because I don't want that to have been an example for people who in many cases in their relationships I have seen where men have gone on to accomplish all that they want to accomplish and have not said to their wives, what are your dreams? What do you believe that God wants to do for you in your life? What are the dreams that God has planted in your heart to see accomplished? And so without regret, what I want to offer that to help people be sacred as we pray, as we study the Word, is to give opportunity in the same way we will want to give ourselves, to help them to know and to cultivate their spiritual gifts, to help them to know and to cultivate their passions, to help them to know and to cultivate their abilities, to ever compliment, to ever say I love you, to ever mean it, and to ever offer them opportunity to see their dreams fulfilled, especially the ones that God has planted in their spirits. There's a lady by the name of Nola Oakes. You can look her up. At the age of 95, she graduated from university with a history degree. Isn't that awesome? Along with her granddaughter. You imagine going to Tyndall. Like a 95-year-old grandmother graduating with her granddaughter. It wasn't at Tyndall, by the way, but this was a few years ago. And planning to apply for a job on a cruise ship as a storyteller. As her life dream was to be on a cruise ship for more than 7 days. That comes down to the golden rule of treating others as we would want to be treated ourselves. And so I encourage you, especially the brothers in the house, that all of the women in your life who are most important, for me, they are my mother and they're my wife, because my sister's gone. But to seek the Lord and what it means and what it takes to help them to be sacred, holy, set apart, flourishing spiritually, prospering in the Lord. May we do that for each other. You say amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Our gracious God, I thank you for the opportunity this morning to have so much to be thankful for, to celebrate. Thank you, Lord, for this, the celebration of Chloe's life and the dedication of her and her family. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of services in this region that have touched lives and continue to. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity as a community to sing your praises, as a community to hear your word, as a community to remember and to come to the table to give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior. And give you thanks for the reminder from your word that you have called us to be your followers. You declare us holy and set apart and sacred, and so help us, Lord, to live that out so that our lives look like our standing in you. And Lord, we bless today every mother among us. Lord, we bless every woman among us, recognizing that Mother's Day is so very different for each person. And Lord, help us to cultivate celebrating each other and helping each other to be all you've designed and all that you would desire for us to be. Lord, I pray your blessing also on each person here, on each family, and on Markham Missionary Church to be and to do all that you would desire for your glory and your glory alone. And all God's people would say, amen and amen. God bless you. We are dismissed. We're dismissed to give thanks for what Children's Church has done. And we give you God's blessing today as you go. Happy Mother's Day.